You're listening to True Crime, True Story Network.
Disclaimer. The following documentary contains allegations in investigative journalism based on publicly available information. All claims that involve illegal activity are alleged, and viewers are advised to form their own opinions.
In Chicago, one of America's most violent cities, there are crime stories and there are crime legends. The life of Ja'Kyra Barnes is one of those.
Ja'Kyra Barnes was one of the only female gang assassins that I've ever heard of. Straight
up! Badass gangster girl. Every bit the definition.
It's uncommon for young women to be shooters in gangs.
Ja'Kyra was infamous because Ja'Kyra was a killer.
Allegedly killing up to 17 people by the time she was 17 years old.
She really made her name for herself and was not going to back down from it. She was never, ever, ever going to stop.
Ja'Kyra Barnes, a gangster girl who wielded power with a pistol and a smartphone.
She had quite the Twitter following.
What she could do with a gun was one thing. What she could do with social media was 100 more things.
Social media is driving a lot of the violence in Chicago. There's a lot of threats that go up on the internet between these gangs, and it's not just idle talk. A threat will become a murder. Bitch, I get my death,
bitch, blame up. A lot of people are dying. Innocent people are dying.
How many of you know somebody who's been shot? Wow.
But now, can the girl who embodied the problem of gang violence become the key to curing it?
I think that her story can be a way of preventing future gun violence. We are looking for a code for a Twitter post. This is a threat. We identified a two-day period where someone would post expressions of loss and then a threatening post. This is where social workers and community-based outreach folk can really jump in.
I'm going to speak about this until they hear me, and this stuff needs to stop.
From the tweets to the streets, from the horror to the hope. The secret life of a gang girl, the untold story.
My name is Polly LaPointe. I am a news photographer here in Chicago. My specialty is breaking news. We get a lot of violence here in Chicago. Violence captures a lot of what I do. We're on our way right now to a crime scene where we had a Chicago police officer who was shot. A suspect opened fire. You see the police are up on the second floor up there.
A single shot through the door, striking a 34-year-old Chicago police officer in his left shoulder.
This town has a serious gang problem. We even have children that become killers. Some people have a legendary status at a young age here in Chicago, like Ja'Kyra Barnes, who became notorious for killing. Here's a female that is being used at such a young age to kill people, and she really has no idea what she's doing. It just goes to show the brutal nature of what the streets of Chicago are like.
Ja'Kyra Barnes, the girl who would later become known as K.I., was born in 1997 on the south side of Chicago, in a neighborhood dominated by factions of two notorious Chicago gangs.
Grows up in Woodlawn, which is a neighborhood on the south side of Chicago. That neighborhood was a gangster disciple neighborhood. Across the way, the Black Disciples were operating. The street that separates these two gangs is Martin Luther King Drive in Chicago. On one side is an apartment house called Parkway Gardens. It's a place where if you're an outsider, you're in trouble. One of the great ironies of this neighborhood is that Michelle Obama, as a very little girl, lived in Parkway Gardens. East of that is a single-family house neighborhood, which is controlled by the Gangster Disciples. This is where Ja'Kyra was from. Black Disciples control the west side. The Gangster Disciples control the east side.
Side by side.
So as you can see from the images, these factions are so close to each other. They're literally small.
It's a few blocks.
A few blocks away, and yet they are worlds apart in terms of connection.
Professor Desmond Patton studies Chicago gang violence.
So we've learned a lot about Ja'Kyra. When she was one, her father was shot and killed by a rival gang. And so she didn't really have a chance to really grow up and know her father.
Growing up, Ja'Kyra became close friends with Desiree Van, who still lives in the neighborhood, raising her three children.
So sweet.
Is this how you remember her when you first met her?
Mm-hmm. She was a little tomboy. She was rough. She was a sweetheart, though, and kind-hearted. And, you know, I just wanted to pull her closer, like a big sister, you know.
Hi. Nice to see you. Thanks for having us over. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Rain.
How old are you? Are you sassy like your shirt says?
How often do you let the kids outside around here?
Not often.
Right. Over the years, a lot of stuff that we used to do, we don't do it anymore.
Too dangerous?
Just too, you know, just for safety reasons. And yeah. That's a bad one. It's just too bad here in Chicago. And it got too bad here.
In recent years, gang violence in Chicago has gotten so out of control, it's often described as an epidemic.
It was a violent weekend in Chicago with more than 30 people shot, four of them fatally.
It's long been known that high crime rates are caused by many social factors, from poverty to policing to housing policy. But many who study this problem and others who live with it here every day say something else is driving the violence too. Something new, something unexpected.
Dragon killer, polo rock, bitch, one song, tell folks, one son.
It's all gone to the internet. And it is a very, very widespread issue in Chicago.
Kill you a king, bitch. What's up? We out here. This our block, bitch.
We out here,
bitch. Dragon killer, bitch.
This what we on right here.
Gangs are using this to communicate with each other and to antagonize each other. There's a lot of threats that go up on the internet between these gangs, and it's not just idle talk. A threat or a taunt will become a murder.
A lot of the people who visit social media are looking for attention. In this day and age, it's mostly about clout. Who the biggest, baddest mother? I'll kill anybody. Can't nobody tell me.
I think that people would be surprised to hear how much social media has infected gang life. And in one case, we actually have a kid who was Facebook streaming live and advertising exactly where he was.
Absolutely.
And rival gang members pulled up and opened fire.
So this is like the scary reality of some of the features that we see on social media.
Your neighborhood is right in the thick of it.
Yeah.
What's it like?
It's scary. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. A lot of chaos, a lot of hardship, a lot of death.
Ja'Kyra Barnes turned 10 around the time that Facebook and Twitter became widely available. They all grew up quickly.
It was very important to be popular on social media just because that's where we all talk to each other. The internet was just evolving really fast.
When you and Ja'Kyra became very good friends, she was a great student at school,
mm-hmm.
did very, very well, smart, right? Mm-hmm.
This one, she graduated from right here, from middle school. Yeah. She said that was the last time she remember liking school, eighth grade.
When you met her, what did she want to do with her life?
She loved to help out kids. She was thinking about being a social worker.
She was in a math and science institute when she was a young kid. They thought that they could do something with her. Freshman year came around, and she essentially dropped out.
STL is a faction of the Gangster Disciples, and this is the neighborhood in which Ja'Kyra grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And so she grew up...
She grew up surrounded by this gang.
She grew up surrounded by this gang. She then began to hang out with the young men from the group.
All these kids have great potential. She did too, but her friends started getting shot, and I think that she got sucked into the gang life, and she realized that that's where she's going to get respect and honor and the warm fuzzies that other kids get from playing basketball or, you know, playing chess or something in high school.
Did Ja'Kyra ever tell you about why she had joined STL?
Sometimes I feel like you convert to who you are around. You know, you just become that. A lot of that is for protection.
You're 13 years old, you want to go to a store, you just want to walk across the street. That is one of the most dangerous walks of your life.
Wow. Ja'Kyra grew up and at some point became affiliated with the gang?
Absolutely.
And that's when things went crazy for her and for the neighborhood.
That's because Ja'Kyra didn't just join the gang.
But she wanted to be the toughest person she could be in that gang.
And the only way to do that was with a gun. In recent years, Chicago gangs have become skilled at using social media to taunt and threaten their rivals, a phenomenon Professor Patton calls cyberbanging.
One of the things I was surprised about is many of these gang members will friend their enemies. I mean, they're rival gang members. Like, what is that all about?
It's like the old saying goes, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
These are three emojis you see a lot.
This is a threat. What we have is a smiley face devil, then a water gun, and a person running is someone being shot at. So this is telling someone, I'm going to come after you, and I'm going to shoot you.
This colorful cartoon emoji translates into I'm going to kill you.
Absolutely.
The cyberbanging trend would have deadly consequences for Ja'Kyra Barnes and everyone else in her neighborhood. And just before she turned 14, it went to a whole other level.
Kid named Shondale Gregory was murdered. He went by Tuca. His friends in his neighborhood renamed the neighborhood Tucaville after him. He was a friend of Ja'Kyra Barnes.
How big a deal was the murder of Tuca?
It was really big.
Tuca's death became the focal point for a lot of violence because the gang members that killed Tuca then used social media to really insult his memory.
As you can see, immediately the taunting begins. I'm dead, stop shooting me. Help, I'm dying, I need some water. In this case, you have this young man actually in his coffin.
Right.
And this image has also been defiled. Toilet paper man and F you Tuca.
That is the biggest no-no in this particular context.
That really escalates it.
And that really escalates future retaliation.
Essentially, this image started a gang conflict.
The alleged word on the street is that Ja'Kyra was then asked to retaliate against the person that is responsible, allegedly, for Tuca's death.
Later that year, a kid named Odell Perry was murdered. So then the Parkway Gardens Black Disciples renamed their place O'Block, which it's still called today, O'Block. So you have O'Block and Tucaville. The police believe that she killed this kid in retaliation for her friend Tuca being murdered early that year. It gave her a giant reputation as a shooter. If you are a teenager in a gang in Chicago and you kill somebody, your status rockets.
Turn up!
That fearsome status was amplified by Ja'Kyra's outsized presence on social media.
Instagram on camera.
Ja'Kyra was known allegedly as a shooter or a killer in her gang, and she also had quite the Twitter following. She had 27,000 tweets and 5,000 followers, which put her in like the 97th percentile of Twitter users at that time.
Ja'Kyra was a social media star.
Ja'Kyra was on social media bragging about the shootings that she had done. She was proud, and she let everybody know. She was very quick to let you know that she was violent and that she was not afraid to shoot somebody.
Why was Ja'Kyra so notorious?
I think because of her gender.
Because she's a girl.
She was a real badass gangster girl. Every bit the definition.
I think that for females, that if you want to keep that kind of respect, she was never going to stop. It's more of a survival to be a female in this world, and you want to be better than the guys. You're the gangster. You're the real gangster.
The following year, there is a big loss for Ja'Kyra, a close family friend.
Right.
Was just visiting. This is him.
This is Taekwon. They were all hanging out together. He was shot in a shootout that I do not think the bullet was intended for him. But what's so hard is that Ja'Kyra was there.
We was at a party. The shots were fired. And they just were screaming that Taekwon was hit in the chest. He didn't make it.
A folded up cardboard box serves as a memorial for 13-year-old Taekwon Tyler, one of the latest victims of Chicago's weekend violence.
And it's like I just seen Kyra's face turn white. Like, he left, she left too. It was no more her.
So what's really painful about all of this is we're talking about 12, 13-year-old children.
That night, she just cried like I never seen her cry before. And then when she was done crying, she didn't say nothing.
Did you talk to her about it at all?
I told her that, you know, the best way to deal with pain is to release that pain. You know, you can't hold it in because you will turn into your pain. I think that's what happened.
She was a girl in real trauma.
Yeah. She was hurt.
We see that in many of the tweets she posted. First of all, she changed her Twitter handle
right. To
Taekwon Assassin,
right.
Taking his name. And here we see a lot of her tweets in which you say she's grieving.
Absolutely. She's really just reacting to the visceral
pain,
the shock of it all.
I'll never be the same without you.
And then just a few days later, now she's ready to retaliate. Before I let N-word take me out, I'm going to round. And
what does that mean?
This is a call of retaliation that before she lets anyone shoot her, that she's going to do something back before anything happens to her.
I believe she was really dangerous. She was a kid with a poor history, but whatever else, she was dangerous.
The Chicago gang culture Ja'Kyra Barnes inhabited has a popular soundtrack all its own, drill rap. Its main theme, insulting and menacing a gang's opposition, or ops.
They are interested in dissing one another. They're interested in talking about their gang connections. They're interested in making the biggest punch they possibly can.
They put this stuff up on YouTube for everybody to see, and immediately the ops see this stuff, and more often than not, will respond. They'll drive over there and shoot up the block.
After securing a guarantee of safe passage, we entered O Block, Black Disciples turf, to speak with King Von, a rising drill rap star who knew Ja'Kyra Barnes.
I'm rapping about me, and that's drill rap, so I guess. But I'm rapping about poverty, gangbanger. We gangbang a lot. So I rise, hit one in his
arm, hit one in his thigh. King Von's career has recently taken an upturn after he beat a homicide charge.
Everybody trying to give me money and everybody trying to sign me for me. That's what's going on right now.
One of the ways that Ja'Kyra achieved a huge level of notoriety was that she appeared in one of these drill rap videos.
Mm-hmm.
Was that her?
That's her, yeah.
Right there in the front,
mm-hmm.
with the bandana over half her face,
right.
Brandishing a gun.
Right. It really showed that she had a high position in the gang.
It burnished her street cred.
Absolutely.
With these videos and social media posts fueling the fire, the gang war in Ja'Kyra's neighborhood raged on for years, and Ja'Kyra was on the front lines.
She really made her name for herself and was not going to back down from it.
There were close to 20 shootings in that neighborhood over 3 years, which is crazy. It's like tit-for-tat violence just became the norm there.
Ja'Kyra was tweeting prodigiously the entire time. But by now, she wasn't just getting love from her own clique. She had also made a big impression on King Von, even though they were on opposite sides of the gang war.
Gay's here, dressed like a. She's just like me. She's cool.
Yeah, she was cool to see.
She did get a couple of tweets from a guy named King Von,
mm-hmm.
who's from the rival gang,
mm-hmm.
reaching out to her and proposing she be his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
We've got them here.
Yeah.
I was trying to f*** up. Yeah, I was trying to f*** us. I was like, damn, can you f*** you and shit?
The exact text was something along the lines of, when it's all over with, I'm going to get up in you or something. Does that sound about right?
That sound raw, so yeah, I'll be saying raw shit. Yeah, I probably did say that. I called you, I talked on the phone too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really liked it, Ja'Kyra. And he was like, well, she too pretty for that, and tell her to stop gangbanging, you know.
He liked her as a girlfriend?
Yeah, he wanted to be her boyfriend. And she just felt like he was trying to set her up and kill her. That's what she told me. She like, I think he's just trying to kill me. He don't like me. What's the like?
While much of this drama was playing out online, Ja'Kyra was attracting the attention of an unwelcome audience, the police.
We were watching what she put on social media. We were doing what we could to do something to head this off. Chris Millett became aware of Ja'Kyra Barnes and took some action.
So we were coming through here, and as we're driving through, we spot Ja'Kyra Barnes. She's on the list as someone who's a known shooter. We know that there's a belief that there's a number of bodies behind her, a number of shootings behind her. So we figured we wanted to talk to Ja'Kyra. Yeah, this is the spot. I talked with her for probably about 4 minutes, 5 minutes. It wasn't a long, lengthy conversation. You know, just delivering the message. What do you need? Gave her my card with my cell phone on it. If you're interested, give me a call. If you're not interested, that's fine, but put the guns down, you know, stop. The shooting can't be acceptable. You know, she has some short answers, but, you know, you could see it in her eyes, you know, things shifted a little bit. It wasn't looking in the eyes of a cold-hearted killer or anything like that. It was looking at a teenage girl.
Whatever chance law enforcement may have had to reach Ja'Kyra, it died, along with her fellow gang member, Rashawn Littleby Shaw, who was killed by Chicago police on March 28, 2014.
It's the police chased him from off my porch and shot him. Oh my God, this is crazy.
Boy, whatever on the ground ain't a jumper.
They didn't get my
phone. They saw next thing you know, we heard the shot.
A crowd immediately gathered at the scene, prompting a police call for backup.
So what happened after police shot him?
It made her feel like, wow, she really is losing everybody next to her.
What kinds of things did she tweet?
She said things like, the pain is unbearable, and use a sad face emoji.
Mm.
And then you see people trying to support her.
Cheer her up, keep your head up.
But this, again, this is the same person who was in the video that we saw brandishing the gun and having the mask over her face. So that ability to show that level of vulnerability is really telling of kind of where she's trying to go, and
mm-hmm.
perhaps she's seeking help.
And again, within days, Ja'Kyra's grief turned into something darker.
What else did she tweet?
And this is where things turn. This is an example of when unprocessed grief becomes anger, it becomes retaliation. And so this tweet is emblematic of a desire to revenge Little B's death by retaliating against the ops.
Within 24 hours of that tweet, a noted black disciple named Blood Money was gunned down. As usual, the internet blew up.
These are the narratives that are unfolding on the street that she was allegedly responsible for a rival's death.
We don't know that for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of mythology around Ja'Kyra. She was never arrested for these murders.
Turn up!
Truth was, we never got enough. And we still have to deal with the code of silence.
You talking to the authorities?
Why? Because you won't?
You a snitch.
These are some of Ja'Kyra's final tweets.
You're nobody till somebody kills you. That's just real. And then I've done seen too many of my friends in a casket.
Mm-hmm. And then in the end, we died.
What do you think was going on here?
Something was on her conscience. It was something that was bothering her heart, you know? And I told her, like, what's wrong? What did you do? And she's like, I don't really want to talk on social media, but just come see me tomorrow.
The two friends would never speak.
Did you
ever speak again?
Ja'Kyra Barnes was gunned down Friday afternoon. She was walking down the street in the 6400 block of South Eberhardt.
Barnes and a friend were walking along the sidewalk when a gunman started firing.
The opposition group drove up, unloaded in a drive-by shooting. She got hit and fell to the ground.
There's nowhere else to run. And in the report, they said that they continued to shoot her.
So she was shot here and somehow managed to make it to these wooden steps over here where she collapsed and died.
They were trying to leave a message, let females in Chicago know it's not a good idea to gangbang or whatever.
Well, it tells you that she was the target. The fact that someone is executed, that's an execution. Somebody's coming to kill you.
I don't know anything about any of this stuff, but what I do know is she was a sister, a daughter, a friend, and she's gone.
The novelty of Ja'Kyra, the gang assassin, being shot down was huge. She was thought to be one of the most notorious shooters in the history of that neighborhood, and she's a girl.
In some way, she captured the public imagination.
Yeah, people were fascinated. This was somebody, a real person that did all this and went through all this and then went out violently.
It fascinated me that she was a girl and her age.
It wasn't long before Ja'Kyra's death was being mocked online, but over in O Block, King Von felt differently.
You tweeted once, you said you miss her.
Yeah. Because we used to be talking on the phone. Like, that's somebody, like, say somebody you DM and talking to, and then one day they just gone. Now you're like, damn, who the f*** I'm gonna talk to now?
I learned about her maybe 2 weeks after her death via a bombardment of news media articles about her life.
What were you struck by?
She almost didn't seem real. Like, there was this devilish, monstrous little girl who was going around killing people, and that she also talked about this online. She had this reputation of allegedly shooting or killing up to 17 people by the time she was 17 years old. And so I wanted to actually get to know her from a different angle. We can use Ja'Kyra as a case study of how we should humanize children who live in communities with high rates of violence. And what we've already been able to do is to leverage her tweets to develop artificial intelligence systems that can detect pathways to violence.
So here are a few examples from a Ja'Kyra Barnes data set.
The prayer hands was correlated with loss. The gun emoji was probably highly correlated with aggression.
We study the relationship between social media communication and gang violence.
The eureka moment, he says, came when he realized the key to understanding Ja'Kyra was not her aggressive, boastful tweets, but those expressing deep sadness after the death of a loved one, like 13-year-old Tyquan Tyler.
I mean, I'm very struck by her tweets about Tyquan's death.
Mm-hmm.
They are just 100% pure distilled grief.
I think that's really interesting that this individual who was known to the world as being so tough allowed us all to see her heart. And I think that's something that we need to sit with.
As Patton combed through the tweets, a pattern began to emerge, as he explained in a recent talk.
One thing that we found is that expressions of grief and loss oftentimes come before a more aggressive and threatening tweet. Perfect time for an intervention.
A lot of the young people are living in communities where there is a lack of access to mental health services. There's a stigma around mental health services.
And so for many of them, social media was their way of processing grief, processing trauma.
they're emoting, they're vulnerable, they're in pain.
They initially start to use the platform in a very pro-social, help-seeking way. And then as people begin to interact and intervene in what they're saying online, then we see it becoming more aggressive.
But you've identified a 48-hour period.
We identified a two-day period where someone would post grief or trauma tweet, and then within 2 days, you would expect to see a retaliation or an aggressive or threatening post.
This is where social workers and community-based outreach folks can really jump in.
The secret to preventing violence, he says, could be intervening right in that window.
So this sounds really scary. Why do you stay on Snap?
Because Snap is lit. Because I like this filter. And I love to go on Snap.
Professor Patton and his grad students work regularly with young people.
Youth are important in this space because it's all about peer-to-peer interactions.
He helps them understand the impact of their digital footprints.
I've been careful about what I do and what I say, because it could really like come back and haunt you.
And they help him interpret what's being said in the ever-changing lingo of social media.
You have to go into those neighborhoods and find kids who can help you translate.
Absolutely. My hope is that this work could save a future Dakira Barnes. Okay. I got shot 5 times.
So back in my day, I was the girl that carried the gun. My baby daddy would be like, baby, give me that thing. And I'd hurry up and go get that thing. Everyone calls me Bianca. I've been dedicated to saving the lives of young people in the inner cities of Chicago for 9 years. But before that, I was a gang member, a criminal. I spent 12 years in prison.
And during the time that you were in the gang, is that when you got the tear tattoo?
Yes.
What does that mean exactly?
So mine is hollow, and it means that I'm mourning a death.
On the streets of Chicago, you have what's known as street cred.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Jakaira Barnes. What strikes you about her?
Just strength and, perseverance, I think. I have empathy for her because I am a female and I was a gang member, right? So I know the culture that she felt.
Bianca knows Professor Patton, and on some level, she's been putting his theories into practice.
What I was so impressed about was her ability to connect with young people on social media, really tracking them and using the platforms that they use, I think is a game changer.
You are online all the time.
I'm online, and I have certain guys that, like, I know that maybe at a higher risk for being involved in violence, and so I'm constantly checking to see when was the last time they posted and what did they post last.
Like, for example, this guy, I know he's a very high-risk guy. Like, what kind of picture is this?
So what do these pictures mean exactly?
He's taunting that he's got heavy artillery. But I may call him, or when I see him, I'll say, what's up with that?
Hey, what's
up? I was just checking on you. You all right? Everything okay? I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm at my limit on Facebook friends. I'm on Snapchat. I'm on Instagram. And unbelievable that at 60 years old, I can decipher this shit. I can't even believe it.
Jakaira's tweets signaled loss turning to aggression. Bianca looks for the same pattern.
So I'm seeing a post in reference to a young man that was shot and killed. So that tells me that this person's pissed. So I'm gonna send him a message. Baby, this is Bianca. Give me a call. It's really important. I need to talk to you, period. I love you and I hope you're okay. Call me. And I wanna make sure that I get ahead of a beef before it turns to a shooting and or a killing.
How many shootings do you think, or acts of violence do you think you've prevented?
Oh, hundreds. I know for sure.
Where y'all going? What you doing? What you doing out here right now?
Give me a hug. I'll see you, all right?
Yes, ma'am.
I try to get ahead of the game. I'll see it on social media. And then I drive to their house.
And what will you do? You'll go knock on the door and say what?
I'll be like, and I have a talk with them.
But what do you say?
Like, what the f*** are you thinking? What the f*** is wrong with you?
Let me drive through, you know, over here. We may call this the jungle.
Bianca took us to a Northside barbershop to meet a former gangster named Snoop. For years, they worked together on the streets, trying to get kids to put down the guns and the phones.
When you put your finger on a trigger, everything changes. Come here, baby. What happened?
Is you gangbanging?
No, it ain't got nothing to do with no gang stuff.
It does have to do with gang stuff.
I'm just gonna go and talk them down. But we gotta talk. We're gonna talk.
Social media is like reflecting, putting it back in their face. You know, mm-hmm. It causes a big rule in Chicago to where 9 times out of 10, if you post something on Facebook, you're gonna get killed. Almost. If you wanna get killed,
or
you're gonna go to jail. I got shot due to social media.
Here, right?
I got shot 5 times.
The block here?
In the front of this place.
Yeah.
Right here.
Since he's been doing this work.
Yeah. So we're trying to go a totally different route. You just put your baby's pictures on social media. You just had a good time eating dinner on social media. So keep it that way.
So you're not saying you guys got to swear it off. You're just saying knock off the taunting, knock off the dissing.
Yeah. Well, just to respect that boundary.
You know, we don't need innocent people getting killed.
Right.
We don't need kids getting killed. We don't need anybody getting killed.
Bianca recently made a cameo in this rap video, taking a stand against the plague of innocent lives lost.
Have you heard about...
Chicago is like a modern-day Hunger Games. It's like you're fighting to survive.
For every murder, a mourner. For every cross, a crusader.
My life really changed when my brother Terrell Bosley was shot and killed at church.
Trayvon Bosley is now dedicated to stopping violence.
Everyday shootings.
Everyday
everyday problems.
He speaks at rallies, mentors kids, and advocates for gun reform.
I knew that I had to step up and I had to do something because I didn't want anyone to feel the pain that I had felt.
And here at North Lawndale College Prep, a group called the Peace Warriors has also decided it has seen
Thank
enough.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
A show of hands, how many of you know somebody who's been shot?
Yes.
Wow.
We use a lot of different nonviolent tactics to help keep peace in our school.
In your work as peace warriors, do you monitor social media to see trouble? How much do you see that?
We see it from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed, constantly, 7 days a week.
Do you guys have in your phones any examples
Plenty
that you can read
screenshots.
To
you? What I found was a post that said, "Real A sister beat your A about my sisters or brothers."
So she was threatening. That was it. I'm going to beat you up or something?
Basically.
We say, all right, screenshot whatever it is that you see going on. They'll send it, and we'll get that any time of the night, morning, it doesn't matter.
Again, that's another one. Some young ladies are just angry because both of them like the same guy. Peace Warriors just flagging it like, hey, it just seems like the way this conversation is going, it's going to be problematic.
Typically, when we see like conflict going on social media, we hit it like right then and there. We have a peace circle, and a peace circle is basically a way that we use to de-escalate conflict. A lot of conflict start because a lot of people put a lot of energy into their differences, but when you look at the similarities, you'll see that we all share the same pain, the suffering, sacrifices.
The reason why it works is empathy. We try to get that person to feel or get in that person's shoes and see what they see and see how they feel.
Well, these kids have really made an effort to try and defuse violent situations.
Absolutely. I think that the ways in which youth in Chicago have used social media can be a way of preventing future gun violence.
When you put on the shirt, you put on a target.
Yes.
People will test you.
The Peace Warriors point out that social media lets them know who has suffered a loss when Dr. Patton's window of intervention is still open.
A lot of these gun violence victims don't even make the national news, but it be on Facebook. Every time somebody passed away, you will hear about it on Facebook.
Great grief and loss.
So pay your respect. show empathy.
But we do something called condolence runs in our school, which means if a student loses a loved one or a friend or whoever, we just go to the classroom, give them candy, you know, give them recognition that we actually know about their trauma.
Tell them you know what happened.
Yeah, and for me, show them that we care and make them, feel a little bit more uplifted.
Alexis, you said you're actually off social media.
Well, from time to time, I might get on there to check for things from time to time, but really, after seeing so much drama, it's like, in order to keep my sanity and keep my peace, I just log out because it's too much and I don't need Facebook. I can live without it.
Statistics suggest these efforts and others like them are making a difference. In the first 2 months of 2019, murders in Chicago were down 44%. And while Ja'Kyra Barnes' violent life may have ended early, her story is still being written.
I'm curious, there's a study going on about a girl named Ja'Kyra Barnes. I don't know if you've heard of her.
She was out there wilding out.
Sometimes people do that to try to make a sort of a name for themselves.
What a tremendous life wasted. I've buried people. But whenever I'm like putting people in the ground, I'm thinking, like, what was the reason?
Do you think she knew she would die that young?
I think she did. She understood that the life that she was living, she was putting herself in harm's way, and the pain and the trauma just caught up with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she knew. She knew.
I love going to the studio. I love dropping tracks. I love hearing beats. We be acting up, too had me though. Hold on, wait 1 minute, 1 second. God, when they took Taekwondo, that had me in a panic like a manic. Got the hood into it, acting stupid. But when you live by the gun, you gotta die by some. I mean, I'm not letting up. I'm not gonna give up. I'm not gonna fall into the typhoon of chaos and mischief and violence. I'm not gonna let the darkness get me. I'm gonna stay in the light. I'm not gonna let up. I'm just gonna live in her honor.
The Ja'Kyra you knew.
Yeah. The Ja'Kyra I knew, the Ja'Kyra I remember, the Ja'Kyra I love. That's what I'm gonna talk about. But I'm not gonna let her die. I'm gonna live. That's what I'm gonna do.
Tune in every week to True Crime, True Story Network to get today's news on real life, true crime.